Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to episode 284 of the Player Podcast. Before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to the both own and new additions to our crew tuning in to listen to us do what we do. And what is that, Arsene?
Talk about video games.
That's right. Talk about video games. Every Thursday of every week, we gather around the virtual water cooler to discuss video games and the culture surrounding them. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. The Hoop Man, along with my co-host, the resident live service analyst, Arsene Lakpa.
Hey guys, it's me, live service analyst. I just got to say that the forecast shows that live service games are actually back and better than they have been before. When I'm talking about money that's being made, oh my God, like these companies, they're making so much money now. And I think you guys should continue giving them their money, your money. Don't give them their money. You got to continue giving them your own money out of your pocket. This is for the sake of gaming. You know, if we don't have live service games, I think gaming will be in a state where you just don't even need to play any more games other than live service games. That's all I'm trying to say. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
That's my take.
Thank you, Mr. Analyst. We'll get back to that a little bit later, maybe. But this is going to be more of a grab bag type episode. No specific topic. The gaming landscape is kind of all over the place right now. We got people still playing Final Fantasy Rebirth. We got Dragon's Dogma on the horizon. People seem to be really liking the previews for that. And there's a lot of bad news in the gaming industry, a lot of closures, a lot of layoffs, a lot of not great statements coming from studio execs about their shift and strategy when it comes to what games they want to make. So we're going to be touching on a little bit of everything. But first, you said you wanted to talk quickly about the Xbox Partner Showcase. I watched pretty much everything. I wasn't as locked in as I usually am, but I think I recall most games. Is there anything that stood out to you personally? Like, I know, like, I enjoyed Tales of Kinzera's Out, but we've already talked about that one. That one obviously looks like a cop. But there was honestly a lot more new stuff than I expected to be shown. I guess before we start going to individual games, let's talk about what was your opinions on that. Like, I know you wanted Silk Song, but even though you didn't get your Silk Song, what are your opinions on that showcase?
Overall, I thought the showcase was decent, you know, at a minimum, I thought it was decent. There was enough new stuff to where that, you know, captured my attention to where I was like, okay, these are not bad games that I'm seeing. And definitely, you know, obviously I feel like with showcases, there are going to be, you know, low moments, there are going to be lulls or, you know, things that I'm not as into. You know, shout out Roblox Chucky game or whatever the hell that was. But there were definitely some high moments as well of games that I thought looked very interesting, and I'm excited to see more from them. Also, you know, I saw lots of 2024s on here for these games that are, you know, kind of just got, well, I think some, I'm looking at Unknown 9 number, or Unknown 9 Awakening. I had never heard of this shit before, I don't think.
We did. I think we saw it at like a Game Awards or something.
That was so long ago. Now I'm thinking about it. I remember this. I'm seeing the picture of it. But yeah, seeing that that's coming out this year and some other new things that are coming out this year, I think it's pretty, you know, I think Xbox kind of did the dang thing. I do wish we had some solid dates. You know, I used to be okay with, later this year, summer 2024. I feel like I've been burned too many times where even if I had a date, I could still get burned, but it just feels a little bit more concrete once we're in that year, once we're in the current year that it says it's coming out in. Then I'm like, all right, just give me the date. So other than that, yeah, I think at least 4 or 5 games that out of the 14 that were shown, I'm kind of keen on.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Going into this, I was like even considering, maybe I'll just skip it. But I ended up watching it anyways. And yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I'm never really excited about these partner showcases, whether it's Xbox, PlayStation, or Nintendo. But I would say out of the last two of this like new format that Xbox has been doing, they've established a pretty decent showing both times. The first time is when they show like Metal Gear Solid Delta or whatever. People weren't really expecting that. And I don't know what else they showed there, but I know that was kind of like the big surprise. And this one, I felt like, you know, nothing mind blowing, but also I am legitimately interested in, like you said, a couple of these games that they showed here. So, yeah, it wasn't a complete waste of time, which is a plus when, because I mean, last Nintendo just had their partner showcase last weekend and or last week, and I thought that was entire buns, complete buns. But yeah, let's start getting into some of the individual games here.
Yeah, let's talk about Unknown Nine. What did I mention?
There was a lot going on. It was kind of hard to follow, I'm not going to lie. Because, first of all, she's throwing out her energy. She's boxing with her, like, spiritual force. If this was that game, right, where she's boxing with her, like, force clone that she's pushing out. But then she was also, like, possessing people and, like, doing stuff in other people's bodies. And it was moving fast, too. It wasn't, like, no RTS. She was, like, shoot, 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 possess, shoot. Jump back out of that body, go backwards. So I'll say if their goal was to show me a lot and like show it really quick so that I don't fully know what's going on and I just be like, oh wow, that looks cool, they succeeded.
They got you with the smoke and mirrors.
They did. A little sleight of hand.
I just can't believe that. Like I remember like, you know, that announce, like the first announcement trailer.
Yeah,
like so long ago, but like it was, like I said, it was just so long ago that I forgot that the game even existed. It was one of those ones that are just so, like, so small and seemingly insignificant at the time. It's like, all right, but yeah, hey, I'm actually pleasantly surprised.
I think this game is suffering the same fate as many games do from year to year, which is, yeah, the branding isn't very strong on this one. So even now, seeing it, it's like, okay, will I really keep this one in the forefront of my mind up until the release date? I don't know, but it's definitely like looking at the imagery and stuff. It's like, okay, I'm getting shades of Assassin's Creed, mm-hmm. getting shades of even Banishers of New Eden, like that just came out. I was like, this kind of looks like that. Like, is this like some alternate gameplay? If you go look at the trailer, you might recognize it.
Oh, but yeah.
Point is, like, I was like, yeah, this doesn't really look like anything on its own. It looks like a lot of other stuff. So unfortunately, I feel like trailers like that and games like that kind of get lost among the shuffle in terms of like sticking in people's minds. But the gameplay I thought looked actually pretty good. So we'll have to wait and see what the final verdict is there. But I'm pretty interested in that.
Is this a Game Pass? Are we getting this on Game Pass?
I don't remember seeing that on Game Pass.
It does not have the Game Pass logo. Pass,
so they better really deliver on that gameplay if they're trying to tear us away from whatever we're going to be playing at that time. Because that's 2024, yeah. Right?
2024, yep.
I mean, 2024, even though we don't really know what's going on in fall, we got a lot of big games that are going to take up a lot of the year for a lot of people. I still need to play Yakuza, obviously playing Rebirth for who knows how long. I still need to finish Baldur's Gate 3. Not to mention Elden Ring DLC. Like my year, if I Dragon's wanted it Dogma. To be, my year could be wrapped up. But yeah, Dragon's Dogma, throw that in there too, because that one looks incredible as well. Like, gotta be careful. Gotta be careful with these with your games nowadays. But let's move on. I thought The Altars as well, and
yes,
we can jump back
to
something else. But The Altars, I actually heard about this one as well. I think I saw it at the PC Gaming Showcase last summer. But I love the concept of like, hey, this is one dude, bunch of split personalities, and you have to kind of do this management sim, like narrative focused, managing of all these different characters. I love it. I think it can really lead to some interesting story moments. And I mean, it could also be ass. Like, it could also completely drop the ball on the narrative side. We don't know. But so far, the way they framed it, at least in this trailer, tells me that they have a interesting premise that they're trying to play off of.
Yeah, for sure. I hadn't heard of this one before. And I was, you know, just looking at it, I was like, whoa, alternate realities. We're bringing folks in. I like the idea of, like you said, the narrative based like management sim. I feel like management sims, you know, a lot of times they kind of just get that, you know, you just do it just to do it, you know. There's nothing really driving you other than, oh, maybe you just want to like have the most optimal setup or something. The mm-hmm. fact that this one seems like it may be more of, you know, trying to move a story forward, and that's why you have to have an optimal setup, like giving a reason to that optimal simulation. that I think that could draw me into to this one, because I typically tend to stay away from those games. Also, there was like that third person aspect where you're kind of like, I guess, like going to scavenge for resources for your management, or like for your base or whatnot. I'd be interested to see how that plays out as well and what that'll look like. Is there any combat? I don't think there's any
crowd up there to show anything.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about is like stuff. Because they're leaning so much into the narrative aspect and the survival aspect in tandem, I'm curious if there will be situations where, oh, this altered personality could die because they starve or whatever happens, and that drastically changes the narrative. That'd be really interesting.
It's gotta be, yeah. That'd be so cool.
I think that's a cool aspect of survival games that I don't know if we've ever seen before, where, you know, you kill off a character and it has like significant narrative impact moving forward. That'd be interesting. It might be hard to manage, like from a writing a bunch of different paths to support that, but that'd be cool if there was even an inkling of that.
Yeah. Maybe like having like a group of like the key alters or something that are, you know, I guess more important than the other ones, but yeah, that'd be pretty interesting.
Give us another game.
My next one will be Sleight of Hand. Downside to this one, cinematic trailer. You know, we don't really rock with cinematic trailers anymore. I feel like we've grown past that, but I couldn't help but be drawn in just because the premise of it seems clean. You're playing as Lady Luck, and you're throwing cards around, doing magic spells, and you're a scorned witch you've been betrayed by your coven. I was like, whoa, okay, that seems kind of clean. Also, then the last little frame, that's what got me. Immersive?
Stealth sim.
I was like, Dishonored?
Come on.
Hello?
Now.
We're getting a Dishonored, like, with Sleight of Hand coming, you know, sometime 2025. I can rock with it. As long as they, you know, deliver and it's not... Like if it's anything like Dishonored, I think I'll rock with it for sure. But you know, don't make it look, don't lean on the Redfall side of Arcane. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, jury's still out on this one. I agree with 100% everything you said. The lack of gameplay is, you know, I can't make any final decisions or any I can't get hyped until I see the gameplay. But in terms of the description and what they're going for, all that stuff sounds amazing. So I'm right there with you. I was very interested to see this game. This was one of those ones. I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of a nice surprise. But hopefully we'll see more soon. Now, this one is on Game Pass.
Yes, it is.
I mean, which could go either way. Game Pass is not really an indicator of quality. Like, because there is ass on Game Pass and there's some sleeper hits. Although... Mm-hmm. I feel like we haven't had many winners chosen by Game Pass, if that makes sense. Like, usually the games that are great that come to Game Pass, we already know are great in terms of quality. It's very rare that a game is on Game Pass and you kind of discover, oh shit, like this like indie game or this small game is like actually kind of fire. And Microsoft saw this ahead of time and they signed the deal. Mm-hmm. That hasn't really happened that often. The closest I can think of is Power World was broken as shit, so I think that was just like, it's not like Microsoft saw anything there. They kind of seems like they kind of got a little lucky on that one in terms of how it took off, but
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see
what you got next for us. You have anything else?
I'm trying to think if I mean the only one that also stands out to me is Kitsugami Path of the Goddess from Capcom. Okay. I remember they showed this at the Xbox Game Showcase last year, and they showed a little bit more this year or at this showcase. And I appreciate that they kind of laid out what the gameplay is, where it's kind of like during the day, you're kind of setting up your defenses, you're saving these villagers and then turning them into warriors for you. And then at night, all the monsters kind of like file in, and it's kind of like a, almost like a tower defense-esque type game. I thought that was interesting. I think this one is going to be all up to the gameplay feel. Like, I can see this being very addicting and kind of, you're kind of just locked in doing these levels like a lot of tower defense games are. But the gameplay inherently isn't like selling me. Like, I, this is one that I want to have my control, the controller in my hands to determine if this is going to be good or not.
Gotcha. Hands-on experience. I feel that. Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same boat here. I mean, it looks, graphically, it looks beautiful. I just love that art style of like, or I don't even know what it's considered. I mean, just Japanese, like, you know, your classic Japanese art style from feudal Japan or something like that.
It's crazy. I don't know. That's crazy.
Hey, I don't have the official terminology. I didn't learn that in Japanese class. But yeah, I'll definitely keep this one on my radar as well. I might let you be the guinea pig. You play it. You get your hands on it. Then I'll get my hands on it. Then we'll see.
Deal. You got anything else for us from this showcase?
The last one that kind of caught my eye was Creatures of Ava. Fucking Pied Piper Pokemon looking game. Where I was like, what the heck is going on? Why is this lady, you know, playing her flute? Why are the animals following her? It definitely looks.
She's getting down.
She was getting down, and I like this puzzle. You know, I love puzzle games. You know, I think both you and I are pretty, you know, puzzle aficionados. Yeah. This one could have a little bit of spice to it. I don't know. I don't really have much more to say about it other than it looks visually good, and also the mechanics behind, you know, controlling your animals or your little monsters or whatever also look very interesting. So Creatures of Ava coming out this year as well.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not playing that. Not really? Playing it. I learned my lesson with the gunk. I gave that shit a try. It was putting me to sleep. So
I did think this was gunk too. I'm gonna be honest. Yeah.
It looked like the gunk too. I was just like, you know, I know there's some people that out there that are going to enjoy this. Great for them. I cannot waste my precious earth lifespan playing this, which I know I'm not even going to like that much. Let's be real.
Yeah. Oh, it's an action adventure game apparently. So you could be boxing.
We're not boxing. They would have showed us the boxing.
And then all of a sudden, you know, your little bird Pokemon comes out and does, like, you know, aerial lace or something, like, you know.
I'll tell you right now, whatever they showed us was the best stuff they got. All right, it's only going down from there.
Oh,
unfortunately,
it might be.
So, yeah, I mean, that was the Xbox Games partner preview. It was pretty interesting. Obviously, you know, it was a nice surprise. It wasn't anything that I was expecting to happen this week, so it was just a nice little bonus. Another nice little bonus was the No Rest for the Wicked Inside that happened last week, which I don't think we got to talk about. I've been actually counting the days for this ever since we started talking about No Rest for the Wicked a couple weeks back when IGN started to show footage of it. I was like, wait a second. And after the No Rest for the Wicked Inside, I'm like, yo, Moon Be Studios locked. Might have done it again. This game looks incredible. Like, they had the script and everything they said about the game in the like little inside they did on the project was music to my ears. Like, it sounded like they were solving all of the problems that, you know, or gripes most people would have with the current generation of action RPGs. So they were talking about, one, all the levels are handcrafted. I love that. Like, I do not like randomly generated levels or dungeons or anything like that. Dungeons, you know, might be all right here and there, but for the most part, I like handcrafted stuff. I like finding secrets that developers really schemed to hide. This is exactly what they said. They said, you know, we specifically hid all these things, and we made sure that in every level there's a bunch of secrets all throughout the map, which I loved. There's a little bit of traversal too, a little bit of platforming on each level as well, which looked cool. They talked about the loot system, the rarity system, which I don't know how we regressed so far on the loot system, where back when Borderlands 3 made loot popular and, like, you know, open up chests was like the big thing in Borderlands, not Borderlands 3 specifically, but Borderlands in general. Borderlands made it feel so fun. Every time I found a chest, I was like, oh man, what am I going to get? And ever since then, I feel like we've just gotten worse and worse with loot, where now you open up a chest or something and you just get some randomly generated fucking multiplier. The guns all feel and sound and look the same. Like there's no diversity at all. We need a DEI weapons consultant on these games.
You are insane.
This shit is just out of pocket. But in this, in No Rest for the Wicked, they said, okay, most of our guns are randomly generated. But we made sure that each rarity level isn't, you know, just the typical rarity. Like the white are the most customizable weapons. So it's not necessarily trash loot. You can, you know, customize it and kit it out to your liking. Then they have blue, which is like, okay, you'll get some bonuses. The purple is stronger than blue, but it also comes with a curse. So then there's like this like trade-off of like, okay, do I really want to pick this up if I get the debuff? And then like the legendary weapons are all handcrafted, which I love. Like finding a legendary weapon actually meaning something and being like, oh shit, like this is clean. Miss that feeling. So also music to my ears. Did you watch the Inside?
I watched like probably like 80-90% of it. So I know the gist of pretty much everything, all the little systems they got going.
Yeah. So I guess to quickly close it out, the last thing that really stood out to me was the combat. Most of it is Souls-like combat. So if you played Elden Ring or any of those other games, you kind of know what you're going to get. But the really cool aspect that I thought they promised was like the use of these runes that come equipped with each weapon. And the runes each have their own like special custom weapon attack animation. So, for example, in the video, they show like these twin daggers and the dude kind of like arches back and then like swipes forward at full speed like an anime character and like slices the enemy in half or something. Like it looked clean, and every weapon apparently has its own like unique set of animations. So like it sounds like they're really putting a lot of love and care into this game. And I know the game is coming out in early access. What's the month, like April or something like that?
Yeah, April 18th, my wife's April birthday, 18th. I'm pretty sure.
You know, early access I'm never a big fan of. I usually don't participate in any early access situations, but this one might need to be an exception. I really do want to get my hands on this one, so I highly recommend, if you guys are into action RPGs and Souls likes, check out No Rest for the Wicked.
I kind of agree with you on this one, because, or about picking up No Rest for the Wicked around, you know, the early access time, just because I feel like, or at least I want to confirm this first, but I feel like they have most of the experience done. I think only things that are really being developed and like, you know, will be delivered later, like, you know, that multiplayer things that they wanted to add, some, you know, there's some like areas and story, I guess, that they want to add. But I think like, because it is a campaign at the end of the day, there is a campaign. So I think that campaign will be done for early access, if I'm not mistaken. If it is, I'd say go for it. You know, they got a story they want to tell you, but play the story that they want to tell you. You don't need all that extra shit.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. I want to give a quick update on my Final Fantasy Rebirth journey. You've also been playing as well, but you're not as deep. But we can both give our like quickie initial opinions. I guess let's start with you. How are you feeling about Final Fantasy Rebirth?
I think Rebirth is definitely a silly game that I've played so far. I'm only in chapter 2. I played a little bit of the first mini game that we have, the Queen's Blood card game. When I saw the card game, I immediately said, card games. I'm sick of these little, you know, like 1v1 competitions between, you know, me and somebody, you know, me and an NPC. I don't really like that. And then I proceeded to play all three people in the, I played all three people in the starting town of Calm. It does have a bit of an addicting nature to it. I will say that. Overall, past that, I did make it to the open world part of the game, and I didn't get to explore too much, but initial impressions are I'm not super impressed, just because it feels a little empty. But I don't know if that does, if that gets rectified as we move later on, you know, deeper into the game. But overall, like that's just about the open world. Overall, the game still is a visually, you know, appealing game. Combat still feels nice and fresh. And like I said, silly characters with their, you know, silly dialogue is always a plus in my eye. So I'm still very positive on this game. What about you?
I'll start by saying this, all right?
Uh-oh.
The game of the year race is wide open, all right? The game of the year
race is wide open. Whoa, you are crazy.
All I'm saying is the game is good, but I'm thinking about 2023 where you would play a game and you would know that you're playing some magic. Like, you're like, dang, this is near flawless. Like, this shit is fun from start to back. The open world, it's just like, it just feels like bloat to me. Like, it just like, this, I'm like, this happens. I have like a detector when I'm playing games, and the detector goes off whenever I ask myself a single question. What am I doing? I'm just out in the open world, like, and like, I'm doing it. Sure. Like, I'm going to the tower. I'm pressing triangle. I guess I'm picking up the little chocobo signs at the bus stops. I'm like, why is this stuff here? It's like adding nothing to the game, in my opinion. That part, I'm like, I don't know why this had to be there. It's not really doing nothing but stat padding the game. Like, we're Russell Westbrook in the stats of this Final Fantasy playtime here. On the other side, all the rest of the game, I am thoroughly enjoying so far. All of the, like, clearly tailored mini games and story moments and combat sections, I absolutely love so far. I do love that the characters are so goofy. I think the game is really leaning into it on purpose, because there are moments as you go on that you're like, yeah, this shit is just so out of pocket. Like, this is not like they're clueless. They're like intentionally putting out of pocket stuff left and right, without any remorse. I love that. I talked about in the Discord, I was like, these mini games in the open world cannot be the stuff that people are gassing up. Definitely not what people are gassing up. There are actually good mini games that are catered to each region, which so far I love. Jury is still out, cause I still got a lot of game to play, but all of that stuff that's like very clearly handcrafted and not, you know, used to just buff out the game by using, like, all right, here's an open world generator. And speaking of, like, one, half the time you're just pressing triangle, you're pressing X. It's not taking any skill to do any of the open world activities. But two, the towers, which are like a common staple in every open world game, they don't fill out the map. They don't, like, discover the map for you. The map is still gray until you walk over it, which I'm like, that's annoying.
What are the towers? Cool. I've seen a tower, but I haven't.
You go to the tower, you press triangle or X or whatever, and then it puts out a beacon and it puts icons on your map around that tower.
Got it. You know
how, like, in most open world games, when you go to a tower or something, it like colors in the map to show you everything there. It does not do that. It just puts the icons down in Final Fantasy. It just puts the icons down and the map is still like fogged up. So you still have to like walk over the physical areas to open it up. And I'm just like, no, there's too much map to be doing playing these games with me. Just fill in the fucking map, all right?
I mean, do they have to though? Like, you know, everywhere that in the fog that's not an icon, it's not even important at all, is it? So, like, what do you need to?
I mean, just color it in then.
Well, that's it's true. Just like, why not like just do it?
It's my ADHD where I'm like, it just looks ugly. Where it's like, I got you. Like, anyways, I might be nitpicking there, but once again, it comes back to the question of what am I doing? I'm not really getting any value out of most of the stuff I do in the open world. The one exception is the summon materia, which basically every time you do it, you make the summon challenge that little Chatley gives you a little bit easier. And then once you complete the summon challenge, you actually get the summon materia that you can equip on one of your characters. So doing the little open world icons actually gives benefit to you in the game, which is nice.
They got Chatley in this game. They brought him back.
Chatley is deep, bro. Chatley is in every aspect of Final Fantasy VII.
Ooh,
they love Chatley. They even got, you know, I'm not even going to spoil it for you.
All right, all right. Okay.
There's an expansion of the Chadley lore. I'll just say that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, other than that, do you have any Baldur's Gate 3 updates, or are you on Final Fantasy?
I am on Helldivers, making progress, getting to the more difficult difficulties. But I did boot up Baldur's Gate 3, and I had my first tragedy. Uh-oh. I put in, you know, I got to, you know, one part, you know, did a little quick save, you know, did my thing, kept going, blah, blah, blah. Got to this, maybe play like another, you know, hour or so, maybe an hour or two. Then I did an action. Somebody said, "Hey, go take out one of those orbs." And I said, "Okay, let me just take out this orb real quick." Oh, I know
exactly where you are.
In the, what's it called? The mines, or whatever. Grimforge, I think it was called. Yeah. So I said, "All right, bet. Let me send Asterion. He's the dude with the stealth. Stab this orb up real quick." He doesn't one-shot the orb. So then all of a sudden they said, "Hey, what are you doing over there?" So I could either fight or pay 600 gold. I said, "Let me just go ahead and, you know, just quick load real quick." Oh. My quick load took me back to that encounter I had
an hour ago.
So I was immediately pissed off. I was panic scrolling through my load states. I was like, "No,
I'm scrolling.
I thought I had auto saves. I thought I had auto saves going. Like, I talked to many people. I fast traveled and, like, you know, I completed a quest. Like, I like turned in a quest. And I was like, oh yeah, surely I have like a save at that completed quest. Apparently not. I'm like, what are we doing, bro? Like what is going on? So
caught yourself slipping.
I caught myself slipping. I'll never let it happen again. I'll make sure that, you know, after any important, you know, situation, or before any important situation, definitely gonna start quick saving more frequently. But yeah, that was my first time where I felt like, all right, we gotta get on the full scum grind. Like, I'm not messing around.
Yeah, you can't play around with that.
Can't have scum.
All right. So there's a lot of other stuff I want to talk about, but I think we'll save that for next week. I think there is a discussion to be had about the industry at large with all the layoffs we've been seeing. Rooster Teeth just got whole ass shut
down.
Insane. You know, WB is talking about, you know, Hogwarts Legacy wasn't enough. We need to pivot to live service games.
No.
Like, they're talking about, yeah, we can make more. We need to stop making single player games. We need to invest in live service. So basically everybody's saying the wrong things for the most part. It is not looking great out there, and I'm sure we're not going to feel the effects of these decisions until the early next generation, most likely, but it's going to be rough if a lot of these companies get their way. But I think the good thing is, I think this is going to be the year of the indies, and we're going to have even more year of the indies coming up. Like, obviously we talked about No Rest for the Wicked. Balatro is going crazy. I think
Balatro.
It's 500,000 copies, which is crazy for our indie game made by one person, bro. If I'm that one person, I'm like, hold on, let me turn the fuck up. 500,000 copies.
Let me increase the price real quick.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and jack up the fucking, let me put microtransactions in this bitch real quick.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be very interesting, a very interesting conversation. It'll be a more sour, salty, piss off conversation. So we can keep that we can punt that to next week. Before we leave, is there anything else you want to give the folks at home?
Folks at home, go play some games, man. We got a lot of good stuff out here. You know, Final Fantasy obviously is a fun time. Balatro, Helldivers, y'all gotta get on Helldivers. The updates are coming. I don't know if we're winning the war. That's the one thing I wanted, the brief thing I wanted to mention about Helldivers. I love the community aspect of it. I feel like I haven't been a part of a game like this to the scale where, you know, how in games there will be these community events, right? The whole community is working towards stuff. I didn't realize going in that was like the whole gameplay, like, I guess, like, background for Helldivers, that everybody's working towards the goal of liberating these planets. And I'm like, whoa, we got to get out to the Western Front. We got to get to the front lines, boys. What are y'all doing sitting over there, you know, playing it safe? on the Eastern Front. We need y'all on the front lines, you know. So I'm getting immersed in the world lore. I'm learning more and more about Helldivers, and it's just a fun time.
I heard it was a false flag operation.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
False flag operation is when the government, like, basically plants the enemy there. So I was, I just heard this secondhand, but apparently there's a theory that they planted aliens on the planet you're on to, like, basically give you reason to go in there and colonize it.
Listen here, I don't want to be labeled as a traitor, but that is definitely what it is, bro. Like half the shit is, like, you know, it's the whole satirical aspect of it.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're supposed to be like, you know, this, you know, fake ass America, woo, guns, and we're going to go spread democracy all over the universe type shit, like causing the problems and to fix them. You know, that's basically the whole entire game. So you are right about it being a false flag. Don't say that.
I'll pay traitor. Respect. I'll pay respect.
You get sent to a liberation camp or some shit.
Oh, nah. Before we leave, on one final fantasy note, are you Team Tifa or Team Aerith? The debate
Team Tifa. Team Tifa. Never been Team Aerith. Aerith is just a little goody two shoes. Tifa is that bitch. She is that baddie. I don't want to hear nothing about Aerith, bro.
Okay. All right. Because I asked Amanda. I didn't give her any comment. I just showed her the loading screen or the pause screen. I was like, yeah, would you choose this person, this one or this one? She chose Aerith. She said Tifa looked like she was trying too hard, which.
Dang. I can see that.
Without context, it's hard to argue that she's not trying too hard.
Yeah. But Tifa has she's a soft soul, you know?
Everybody's nice in the game. Like, I'm anti-Aerith. Like, what is she doing? Aerith is not.
Whoa.
I mean, like, what is she offering? Why is everybody so gassed up on Aerith?
She's too head in the clouds for me. That's what I don't like about her.
She's just so aloof. Like, how about you help us? How about you get locked in, all right? I don't need this. Hee hee ha. Everybody's a friend. No. Everybody's not a friend, all right?
Yeah, no.
Like, let's lock in. Let's stick it to Shinra. Like, Tifa, she's been there. She was a part of the original Avalon. Actually, I don't know if she was a part of the original or did she get recruited in remake, but regardless, she was in the mud, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Aerith got found in the field of flowers. She's a little flower girl. She's just tagging along because she's some ancient, all right?
Yeah.
She's getting tagged along because of happenstance. Tifa is about that life. You know,
it's real.
Honestly, it's really Jesse over all of them because Jesse gave her life for the cause. And yeah. Jesse was really about that. But
Allegedly.
I mean, who knows? Also, one more hot take. And I'll leave you off this. Cloud? I'm starting to like Cloud less and less in this game. I'm like, bro, what is wrong with you, bro? What is wrong with you? Learn some fucking social skills. Like, you're just doing nothing.
Everybody he's socially inept, bro.
He really is socially inept. It's that damn Rocco poison, bro.
It affected his brain.
He's missing a couple rocks in that head of his.
Dang, poor Cloud, bro. You get all poisoned. I'm saying is,
he better redeem himself, all right? Because he's pissing me off. Characters be talking to me, and I'm like, I don't want to say that. Why is he saying that?
Why is he saying
the wrong stuff, bro. Why am I playing this guy? Give me some choice.
Let me play as somebody else. Let me play as Tifa. Yeah, can answer the question. Bro. Tifa's a real person. Cloud is a robot, bro. I think that's the problem. He is a bot, bro.
Yeah. He is a full-on bot. Next, he's going to be talking about, click this link. I'll take it to my OnlyFans. Like, shut the hell up, Cloud, you fucking NPC.
No, not Cloud's OnlyFans. You know people fall for it, too. Y'all sick, you know, motherfuckers, bro. Y'all sick.
Lord help me. Anyways, thank you for listening to Player. If you enjoyed it, subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Join the Discord, playerplayerpod.com, and tell us if you're Team Tifa or Team Aerith. And tell us if you're a part of the false flag operation of Helldivers. Can Arsene recruit you? Oh, sorry, not the real operation, the real flag operation.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Can Arsene recruit you to the front lines? Once again, Thank you all for listening. As always, big shout out to Aaron Miller for the intro music. You can follow him at The Miller Trial on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me on social media as The Hoop Man, where the E is a 3. You can find my co-host Arsene here as Pax Arsenica on Twitter and Twitch, or Arsene Lockpa on Instagram. And until next time, keep gaming.
Game on, folks.